Let's pick up our Bibles, shall we? I'm going to turn to Matthew and the end of the Sermon on the Mount this morning. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 12 all the way to the end of chapter 7, verse 29. Not that big a passage. And I don't know what you think. Towards the end of a sermon, what are you thinking at the end of a sermon? Oh, come on, David. You've been going on long enough. Jesus is coming to the end of his sermon this morning. And, he wants us to respond in a right way. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read from verse 12. And then Naomi can hand out the sheets for the children. Children, listen up, because you all have heard some of these things that Jesus says here before. We'll read from verse 12 of Matthew chapter 7, page 812, I think, in the church Bible. The Lord Jesus says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So reads God's word to us. Do keep your Bible open at that passage as Naomi hands out the sheets. Sometimes we read a section of God's word, and it's solely in the indicative sense. That is, it's descriptive, or it's sharing fact. It's passing on information. Maybe it's a narrative, a storyline, a truth about God and what God is doing. Lots of the Bible is like that, isn't it? God telling us about himself and what he's doing. God wants us to know about him as his people. We've said our creed this morning, that Apostles' Creed, what we believe as a church, the Bible states. But at the end of the sermon that Jesus preaches, this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus does not merely want us to know what he thinks. Jesus this morning, as we come to the end of his sermon, he's not looking for a sermon critique. He's not looking up for us to give some kind of credit rating, how well we think he's done, what we think of it. He ends this famous sermon for a call for you and I to do something, to act. Throughout Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, Jesus has been showing us just how radically different life in his kingdom, life lived with him as the king, is compared to life outside of his kingdom. Jesus, we've heard, he's not interested in outward show. No, his kingdom is all about living before the God who made us and who welcomes us in his son Jesus to be our Father. Look what Jesus says there in verse 24. I've already said what the sermon is all about. Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. Jesus this morning, he wants every one of us here to make up our mind. What will you do with what Jesus says? This morning, every time you hear God's word read and preached, what will you do with it? Jesus says, every time you hear it, every time you read my word, I want you to act. I want you to go and practice what it is I've said. Look at verse 13, just the verse after we began reading. He says, enter by the narrow gate. Verse 15, he says, beware. They're doing words. Beware of false teachers. Enter into the way of life. Watch out for those who will stop you entering into that way. Friend, this morning, there is a path that you are walking on. There are influencers that you are listening to. There are foundations that you are building your whole life upon. And Jesus says, it is time for every one of us, it's time that we made up our mind. Which path, whose words, which foundations will you choose? Now is the time to choose life, to watch out, to build wisely. Three points this morning. Here's the first thing. It's to do with the path that you're walking on, the path that you're walking on. Look at verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. All through this sermon, if you've been with us for any of it, Jesus has presented us time and time again with two contrasts, two kinds of righteousness, the pretense kind of righteousness, the hypocritical righteousness that's just a show before others on the one hand, and then the true righteousness before God on the other side. He's spoken about two different kinds of devotion, a phony devotion and a true devotion. He's spoken about two treasures, hasn't he? That heavenly treasure, the earthly treasure. He's spoken about two different masters, money, stuff, or God. Two types of ambition he's spoken of. And Jesus is asking us here as he comes to the end of this sermon, make up your mind, which one will it be? Which kingdom will you seek first? God's kingdom or an earthly? A kingdom of your own? And there's an urgency to what Jesus says here. Jesus does not want us to go away this morning, any morning when we've heard his word, kind of hedging our bets. Trying to get a foot in both camps. Oh, there's two paths, but can I manage to do both? No, Jesus wants us to know there is a decision to be made, to choose life. Those verses that we read, I think there's maybe 16, virtually every one of them calls us to make up our mind. There are two gates, there are two paths, there are two destinations. There are two prophets or teachers, two trees, two builders, two kinds of listener to Jesus' word. It's one or the other. It is either or. Every time you hear Jesus' word read, preached, which one will it be? It can't be both. Look at the two ways. Verse 13 again. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. That is simple, isn't it? You, me, every one of us, we are all travelling. We're all on a journey. We're all walking along only one of two available paths in life. Just think of your journey home from church this morning. There'll be multiple ways that you can get home from church, I'm guessing, this morning. We live, what, less than a mile away? There are three, maybe four different ways that you could get to our house from here, aren't there? Most of you will know at least some of them. But Jesus says, no, that is not the way it is with life. There is a gate that is wide. There is a way that is easy. There is a journey that is oh so popular. And its end is destruction. And there is a gate that's narrow. And there is a way that is hard. And it's a road far less travelled. And it leads to life. It's destruction or it's life. It is heaven or it's hell. Only two destinations. And friend, you and I this morning, we are on either one of the paths that leads to those destinations. You are always, I am always, we're always headed somewhere. We all know people who have chosen that path that leads to destruction. You will know people like that. I will know people like that. That path that leads to hell. See, hell is not something to be shunned. Hell is a reality. You try to airbrush the idea of hell out of the Bible. Friend, you will end up with no Bible. Try to get rid of the idea of hell from Jesus. Oh, I want Jesus, but not the idea of, I don't like the idea of hell. Friend, Jesus is the one who speaks, who talks about hell more than anyone else in the whole of the Bible. Jesus says, I will say to some, depart from me, I never knew you. He speaks, verse 27, of a great fall. Hell's not kind of an end of everything. It's not an annihilation, a nothingness. Hell's not just the absence of God's blessing, of God's goodness. Again, verse 13, Jesus speaks of it as destruction. Verse 19, he calls it a lake of fire. It's pictorial language, fire. It's a metaphor, but it's language that Jesus is using here to point us to the horrendous torment of an everlasting hell. A future end, judgment to come. But the outcome of that judgment, this destination, hell, friend, it will not be a shock. It will not be a surprise to anyone. It will be the destination that people have travelled to. It'll be the path that people have followed all through their life. There are some people walking along that path, even this morning. Some who will tragically reach that destination. Friend, as we said here in church, hell might seem a long way off. But friend, I want us all to grasp this morning that the path to that place, it runs right through here and now. It passes, the path to hell, it passes through this sermon, through this place where we're all seated now. No one just arrives at hell and it's kind of totally out of the blue. How did I get here? Jesus says there is a path that is travelled. And the great news is, the great news of the whole of the Bible, it is a path that we do not need, none of us, to stay on. It is why there is such an urgency in Jesus' words here. He is not dispassionate as he speaks to you this morning. He's desperately concerned which road you are on, and he cries out to you, turn from death, choose, enter life. All the way through this sermon, Jesus has described the broad road for us. It is the easy road where instruction from him, it's just ignored. It's a path full of religious hypocrisy, looking the part, but the reality is different. It's the way where all of our treasure, all of our anxieties, they're all about here and now, about this world. And what's more, Jesus says it all comes to us oh so naturally. It's what we default to. It's easy. It's an easy road. You see, you don't have to leave anything behind on this road, do you? This broad road. You can bring your sin along. You can bring your anger along. Bring your envy and your pride. Bring it all with you, and soon you will be at your destination, hell. But there is another way. There's another way that Jesus speaks, another destination that is a small, a narrow gate. A narrow gate that strips you bare of everything. I've been travelling over the last few days, so all of my illustrations and pictures this morning, they're all to do with travelling, I'm afraid. You know, you go through those security gates at an airport, and what happens? All of your baggage in the box, oh, the belt as well, maybe the shoes, maybe the mobile phone and the watch, all of your stuff taken from you so that you can walk through that gate. Now, at an airport, hopefully you get it all back. But this gate, this narrow gate, friend, you enter with nothing in your hand. Only those, Jesus has been saying to us, hasn't he? Only those who make themselves small, who are poor in spirit, we heard it earlier, who mourn over their sinfulness, who know they've got nothing to offer to God, who willingly deny themselves, empty themselves, so that they've got nothing left of themselves and are able to take up their cross and follow Jesus. What does Jesus ask us to lay down as we enter in through this gate, onto this path that leads to life? Jesus says, doesn't he? He says, I need you to lay down yourself. He calls us to lay down our self. That is what repentance is, isn't it? To stop living with ourselves as king and to turn and to live with him as king. Remember, Jesus has told us, stop worrying about life in this world. Stop worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Stop laying up treasure for yourselves, all of your stuff, as if this was the point of everything. Stop worrying about it. Stop living for it, because your heavenly Father, he knows all of your needs. Seek the treasure that lasts forever. Seek treasure in heaven. Seek first God's kingdom. Walk as though you are on this path that's got a destination called life. Walk as if you're going there. Choose life. Make up your mind. Here's the second illustration. At Heathrow on Friday morning, waiting for that little flight to Aberdeen, not a big plane at all. It may well have been a lot easier to go through the gate to the flight for Paris. It might have been that actually the flight to Paris, no doubt it was a bigger plane, it would have probably have been far, far more popular, far more people on it. No matter how wide those aisles into the EU zone might have been, being in that queue, going along that path, I'd have never ever got to Aberdeen, would I? Jesus says to us this morning, make up your mind, which path are you on? Which path are you travelling on? Choose life. Here's the second thing Jesus says. He wants us to think about the influencers we are listening to. The influencers we're listening to. I don't think I've used the word influencer before, and I can't say it. Beware, says Jesus, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. Influencers, though I can't say it, they are big business today. Big business on social media, aren't they? They claim some kind of knowledge about fashion or about sport or about fitness or whatever it is. And they're online, and yet they build this following of people. People who want to listen to their words, but also copy them, imitate them in their lives. They're an influence on others. I wonder this morning, who would you say are the influencers on your life? Jesus says, when it comes to the word of God, there are only two kinds of influencers. There are only two kinds of teacher. Jesus says there are sheep and there are wolves. There are good and there are bad teachers. The true teacher is a sheep who submits himself to the Lord Jesus before he's ever a teacher, before he's ever a shepherd. The false teacher, Jesus here, he describes him as a wolf, and yet he's a disguised wolf. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He looks like a sheep. Jesus says, beware. We live in Romford, don't we? We need to think of foxes getting into bins and the mess that they can make. But friends, let me say, the devastation that a wild animal like a fox, never mind a wolf, can do to a sheep, that is carnage, shattered lives, a bloodbath. Jesus says, beware, watch out who it is you're listening to. Friends, some of you will be aware of the events of this week. Some of you will have heard before this week of Charlie Kirk. He seemed to be a man who was, whatever you might think of his political views, he seemed to have been a real Christian whose only hope in life and death was the Lord Jesus. Friend, whoever murdered Charlie Kirk this week, whatever the motive was, they clearly had been influenced by someone, by something, hadn't they? Someone who not only disagreed with Charlie Kirk's views, but who didn't think that debating those kind of views should be allowed. And it led to destruction. But Jesus stresses here the point that the false teachers, they are not just out there in the world. Jesus is speaking about false teachers here within his church. It's what makes them so deadly. That's his point. They look like church people. They dress like church people. They've got the church people uniform. Their words are churchy words. You know when the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door and they offer you that Watchtower pamphlet? You are not in any doubt who they are you? When the imam calls people to prayer, you're not in any doubt who he is. When Joe Rogan or what's his name, Jordan Peterson, when they do their podcasts, you're not in any doubt, are you, that they're not trying to identify themselves as Christians. They don't pretend to be Christians. But Jesus here, he's talking about false teachers, and they don't look like who they really are. They are wolves dressed up as sheep. They are like maybe police who have been involved in, not in the solving of, but actually in the acting out with these grooming gangs that we've heard about. The very people who you go to for help, they are the ones who will hurt, who will destroy. And we might think, is that really possible within the church of the Lord Jesus? And the Lord Jesus is warning us here, yes it is. Imposters will enter his church. False prophets, false church teachers, false church leaders. These are not false world leaders. These are not false politicians. These are not false statesmen. They are false Christian teachers, false Christian influencers. They claim to speak for the Lord Jesus, and yet they don't. And yet, we needn't think, hang on, they're in camouflage, they're all dressed up. Well, how do we know who they are? We won't be able to work it out. No, they are not impossible to identify. It's one of the reasons why, can I just say this? It's one of the reasons why, as a church, we are part of this group of churches. where we've got a rigorous process for men who are wanting to go and be teachers and leaders in the church, who will teach God's people. Words, they can sound very convincing, can't they? Words can be passionately spoken. But what does Jesus say here? Look at verse 16. Jesus says there, how will we know these false teachers, these false prophets? Verse 16, he says it again in verse 20, so that we're in no doubt. You will know them or recognize them by their fruits. You'll recognize them by their lives lived. You see, false words, they always lead to false fruit. Evil words, ideas, evil teaching, it produces fruit in the lives of those who speak them and in the lives of those who follow them. It's not just the con artist evangelist on the huge stage who arrives in his helicopter. And everybody can spot, even though he's got the name of Jesus on his lips, everybody recognizes he's a fraud. That's not what Jesus is speaking about. Jesus says, no, you beware, far nearer home. You look for these ones, and they look like sheep. The influencer, he not only wants you to hear what he's got to say, he wants you to be influenced, to imitate him. That is true, isn't it, of ministers? Just as a slight aside. The office of the gospel minister that is given by the Lord Jesus, it is not just one where you're hearing God's word, but where you're to be influenced by the person who's speaking them. Remember the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, imitate me as I'm imitating the Lord Jesus. Paul can say to Timothy, Timothy, you've followed my teaching, but not only that, he says, you've also followed my way of life. Paul's words, they produced a particular kind of life. He's a walking picture. Christ's sheep, Christians, they're meant to listen to his faithful ministers because they're bringing you Christ's word, not their own. But more than that, Christ's sheep are to be aware, to observe, to imitate the lives of faithful ministers of Christ as they're embodying the gospel. We're not to think, oh, well, that's just the minister and the minister's household. They do it that way, but everyone's different. We'll do it our way. No. God's word says influence, imitation. You can see what Christ, living for Christ looks like, worked out in practice in the lives of my ministers. Now that is a huge, awesome responsibility for elders, for ministers of the gospel. But it is why false teachers are so deadly, so dangerous. Look what Jesus says to there in verse 21. These are fearful words, aren't they? Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Fearful words. False teachers. Just look at verse 21. False teachers, they recognize who Jesus is, don't they? Lord, Lord, they say. False teachers, they carry out their work, they carry out their ministry in Jesus' name. Three times, Jesus says. It looks spectacular. It looks impressive. It looks like supernatural ministry. You see what Jesus says? These people, they say they're false teachers, and yet they say, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? And yet they're false. They've got no heart for Christ's sheep. They've got no love for Christ's Father. They're in ministry not to serve the sheep of Jesus, but rather to use the sheep of Jesus to get out of them what they can. Or men who prioritize success and progression before obedience to God. Friends, it is possible to exercise spiritual gifts and to be strangers to God's saving grace. But on that last day, when such teachers stand before the Lord Jesus and they've got his name on their lips, what will Jesus say to them? Fearful words. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Oh, friend, be aware. Watch out for false teachers, false influencers. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. But the one who does, says Jesus, verse 21, the will of my Father who is in heaven. Friend, who is this morning? Who's influencing you? Who are you allowing to influence you? What podcasts are you listening? What YouTube videos are you watching? What is the life of those people? What's it like in its details? Are they bearing true fruit of obedience to Jesus in their lives? Are they leading you to bear fruit for Jesus in your life? Jesus says it's time to make up your mind. You see, it is about doing God's will, isn't it? It's about obeying and rejoicing in God's law. It's about, finally, building wisely on Jesus' word. Here's the third point. The foundation that you this morning are building on. It's there in verse 24, isn't it? These famous verses. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. There are only two kinds of hearer of Jesus' words. There are only two paths, only two types of teacher, only two kinds of hearer. The wise man who builds his life on the foundational rock of doing Jesus' word. The fool, on the other hand, who does not do Jesus' word. He builds his house on sand. Just note, this is so important. As a church, I want us to hear this. I need myself to hear this. It's not that the fool doesn't hear. It's not that the fool doesn't know. It's not that the fool doesn't approve of. It's not that the fool doesn't preach Jesus' word. All of those things can be true. And yet, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be a foolish man. Can you see? Friends, Jesus is addressing you and me this morning. Those who, like us, have heard what he said. The question is, how are we hearing him? What foundation am I building my life on? You know, the building work, the edifice of our lives, it can look remarkably similar, can't it? This story that Jesus tells, the wise and the foolish builder. Both of the houses that had been built, they both would have looked substantial at one time, wouldn't they? You look at the life of the wise here, you look at the life of the fool, and at times, you know what, it can seem as if both are perfectly adequate structures. The focus of Jesus' attention here, what Jesus is drawing our attention to here, it's all about the future. Both houses, the one built on the rock and the one built on the sand, both of them are going to face a coming storm. It's there in verse 27. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and they beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. There are all kinds of storms that we face in life, aren't there? I think Jesus here, he's talking about this final storm that we will all face, the storm of death and judgment. Which house has been built today in a way that will secure us in that storm? It is the essence, isn't it, of foolishness, not to care about what's going to happen tomorrow, only to be concerned for the here and now. You know, you put an offer in for a house, and the survey comes back, oh, well, actually, there's major subsistence, that there's chronic rising damp. It would be the height of foolishness, wouldn't it, to take that survey and just crumple it up and throw it in the bin? Who would do that? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them would be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The word foolish there, it's the word for moron. Only a fool builds their house on what will not endure, that will not offer support tomorrow. the fool, he does not care about the future. He doesn't care about security. He only thinks what's going to look impressive now, what's going to be comfortable now, what will be spectacular today. Friend, the fool hears Jesus' words. The fool makes a note of Jesus' words. He nods, yes, I like what Jesus has to say. And then he goes and he ignores Jesus' word. He goes away and he does his own thing anyway. He's not totally ignoring Jesus' word, is he? He's happy to listen to Jesus' word. I like what Jesus has to say. But you know what? I've got a career to build. I've got a family to feed, to educate. I've got this and that happening in my life. I've got the advice of other people to listen to. I don't actually need to do what Jesus says. Doing what Jesus says there or not doing it, it's going to make no difference to that part of my life. And Jesus says, you fool. You fool. You'd only ever, wouldn't you, if you've ever had any building work done, you'd only ever employ the builder who will build on solid, secure foundations that will stand through the storm. And the question Jesus asks is, why won't you do the same with your life? Why won't you throw your whole lot in with him? Why won't you build your life on the foundation of doing what he says? Friends, what's the foundation you and I are building on? You need, says Jesus, to make up your mind. Maybe some of us this morning, for the very first time this morning, we need to make up our minds. We need to be clear about the path we're travelling, about the words and the teachers we're hearing, about the foundations we're building on. But friend, I want to say all of us this morning, all of us every day, in every decision, every priority, we need to make up our mind to build our whole life upon the foundation, the firm foundation of doing what Jesus says. It really is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternal blessing or eternal torment. There are only two types of hearer of Jesus' words, those who do and those who don't do. We all hear him, but are we doing what he says? Here's the final flight or travel illustration. Yesterday, on my way back from Aberdeen, we boarded the plane. Most of us will have done it. And the flight attendant gave that pre-flight safety demo. There are two types of hearers of that safety demo, aren't there? There are those who will listen to what's being said, listen, take note of what will happen in case of the emergency on this particular flight with this particular seating arrangement and this on this particular plane. And there's the other type of hearer. There's the kind of hearer that probably most of us are like on those flights. And we hear the word, and yet our heads, it's already in a book. Or we're checking out the in-flight entertainment, or we're talking to the person next to us. Oh, it'll be all right. It's been all right on every other flight. Why not on this one? I kind of got the gist of what they say anyway. Friend, I want us to say that is happening this morning as we sit here. It happens every Sunday as God's word is preached. It is the Lord Jesus who is the teacher. They are his words, not mine. It's his sermon, his word that you are listening to. And therefore, friends, as we close, there will be two kinds of building that will be going on this week. This week we will all be building, friend. But there will be wise and there will be foolish building going on. There'll be wise building. The one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven, says Jesus. Everyone who hears the word of mine and does them, they'll be like the wise man. Oh, that's wise, isn't it? Think of this sermon. To be poor in spirit, to mourn over sin, to hunger and thirst this week for righteousness, to distinctly let your gospel or the light of the gospel shine in your life, in your home, in your relationships, to put away anger and lust, to love faithfulness to bask in our dependence upon God, our Heavenly Father, in childlike dependence as we call out in prayer to Him, in generous giving, in laying up treasure in heaven and not on earth, in seeking first God's kingdom, in putting His kingdom first, in seeking His righteousness first. Jesus says that is wise building. You'll be building. That's what wise building will look like. Each of us will all be building this week. But friend, there is a real danger that you and I, we may build on a foundation other than doing the word of Jesus. And friend, I've said it before, my greatest fear for us as a church is that we hear Jesus' word week in, week out, Sunday by Sunday, and we hear it and it comes to us and we might like it, and that is it. No building on Christ's word at all. Busy getting on with life. Busy building away with all kinds of other things on foundations other than doing Jesus' word. And friend, that is the note to end on, because that is the note that Jesus ends his sermon on, isn't it? Just look at the end of verse 27. How does it end? And great was the fall of it. Jesus ends his sermon, not with some kind of last minute pep talk of, oh, okay, if you're wise, he's spoken about wise building. Jesus ends his sermon with this warning in our ears to build wisely. This warning in our ears to make sure we're on that path that leads to life. That warning in our ears to make sure we hear those who point us to him in their lives and with their words. Oh, friend, it is time for each of us to make up our minds. It is every time we hear Christ's word. Oh, may we do that for his glory and for our eternal good.